Gracious and merciful God, I come to you this morning and I ask for your illumination of the word and of the message so that it is heard through the natural ear and absorbed by the spiritual soul of every individual here this morning with us. As well, Lord, I ask that you illuminate these words and this message beyond the natural hearing ear here today into this community, into this world. We know that your presence is here with us this morning, and we ask that you bless us as you always have, together, one family of faith, friends, family, and acquaintances. All these things I ask in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning's scripture is Joshua 1, 1 through 11. What I want you to focus on is later in the section of the passage, which is verse 9. And I'll probably repeat it for you so that we go into the message this morning with that in our minds. But this is the story of Joshua following when the Lord came to him after the death of Moses. So let's go to the word this morning together. Joshua 1, 1 through 11, if you have your Bibles and are following with me. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of the Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan and all this people into the land, and I am giving to them, to the people of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised it to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of this camp, and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over the Jordan to go to take possession of the land that the Lord your God has given you to possess. I call your attention, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I call your attention to verse 9 when it says, Have I not commanded you? God is asking Joshua here. Be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So this morning as we talk to one another, I encourage you to reflect and be as Joshua. Consider yourself in Joshua's shoes and the consistencies and the parallels to the shoes that you actually have on your feet this morning. The title of the message is Adversity. And I want to talk about three different subjects in this passage this morning that speak to me. And as we face adversity together in this world, I think these stories that I'll bring to your attention this morning have true meaning. The first one I want to talk about is a donkey. One day, a farmer had a donkey. That donkey fell into a well. The animal cried pitifully for hours as the farmer tried to figure out what to do. Finally, he decided that the animal was lost. He was old anyway, and the well needed to be covered because they didn't use it any longer. So he decided to bury him in the well. It just wasn't worth the effort to retrieve him. He invited all of his neighbors to come over and to help him, so they all grabbed shovels and began to shovel dirt into the well. At first, the donkey realized what was happening, and he cried out horribly. Then, to everyone's amazement, there was silence. He quieted down. A few shovel loads later, the farmer finally got the courage to look down the well. And he was absolutely amazed and astonished of the sight that he saw. With each shovel full of dirt that hit the donkey's back, the donkey was doing something absolutely amazing. He would shake it off and stomp it down and take a step up. As the farmer's neighbors continued to shovel dirt on top of the animal, he would shake it off and take a step up. Pretty soon, after a long, arduous journey in that well, the donkey stepped up over the edge of the well and happily trotted off. This story, when I found it preparing for this message, reminded me of life. What seemed to be the end of the donkey would actually be one of his greatest blessings. Not only would it be his blessing, not only would his adversity that he faced in the bottom of that well be his blessing, it would teach a blessing to every person engaged in shoveling dirt on his back. No matter who you are or where you come from, we all have to overcome some type of adversity. Success is not determined by how skilled we are in avoiding challenges, but how we let them mold us and how we face them. You see, ships don't sink because of the water around them. They sink because of the water that gets within them. And that is a quote by an unknown author. The world is like the water, and we are the vessel, the spiritual vessel. And we too can sink in this world. Even filled with the Spirit, we can sink. But we must let the outside world in if we do. Adversity is, well, let me go back and say that my grandmother used to say, when things happened to us as kids, she'd say, look, you know, you just got to make lemonade out of the lemon that the life has given you. So I say this with my grandmother in mind. Adversity is like, is to life like the lemon is to lemonade. Life presents us problems, and in the end, it is all about the manner by which we handle the problem. Franklin Graham said this week on his Twitter page, historians will probably call our era, what we're living in today, the age of anxiety. Anxiety is the natural result when our hopes are centered in anything short of God and His will for us. That's a powerful statement. So I ask that you think about this in the age of adversity and anxiety. The adversities that surface in our lives have the potential to bury us. However, it also possesses within it more potential to bless us than hurt us, much like the donkey in the bottom of the well. There's another quick story about a young man who was trying to be admitted to a very, very popular and incredible Ivy League school. One day, this young man interviewed to obtain that admission, and it was a renowned school. Before him sat a panel of extremely intelligent and intimidating interviewers who had been interviewing prospective candidates for these positions, students, future students, to become part of that school. They had done this all day. And lo and behold, part of his adversity that day was that he was almost the last guy to interview. As he entered the room and nervously sat down in the chair in front of them, they were in a panel. He was on a floor in a large, like a gymnasium or auditorium. They were elevated above him. It was purposeful in their intent to intimidate him. As he sat down in the chair in front of them, the panel said to the young man, "It has been a long day, and we are running out of admission openings. So, to achieve efficiency on our behalf, we shall either ask you 10 easy questions or really one hard, difficult question. Choose carefully," they advised him, "for it will determine your admission into this school. Thus, it will determine your future as a man." The boy thought for a while, and he began to answer. "Sir," and the panel said, "Be careful what you say." He said, "Sir, I choose the really hard question." "Well, good luck to you," the panel said. "You have made your choice. You have made your bed. You shall lie in it. Your admission depends on this answer. What comes first, day or night?" was the question. The boy was jolted into reality, set back in his chair, as he knew his entire future depended on the correctness of this answer to this one singular difficult question. So he thought for a while. And you could see the anxiety of the panel as they shuffled papers and tapped their pens. They were waiting on an answer, and he knew it. He knew it. So he pondered, what comes first, day or night? Finally he said, "Sir, it's day." And hush filled the room. The man that asked the original question on the panel said, "How?" And the boy said, "Woo, stop right there. You told me I had to answer one difficult question or 10 easy questions. I chose the one difficult question. You asked me day or night. I told you day. How doesn't matter. I'll see you in the fall." He obviously was selected for admission. And what it boils down to is it's all about how you handle it. See, there's another parallel to this boy's story. It's about our veterans who left their homes, their security of this nation, and fought in the Vietnam War. You see, I worked for a man who was a sergeant major in the United States Marine Corps, and he is now deceased. A wonderful guy, a heart as big as this place that we sat in this morning, but a very, very difficult man to get to know. And most would struggle to know him simply because of how hard shell he had, what external hard shell that he had. Anyway, he was a recruiter for the United States Marine Corps. And he recruited for a year and a half, and then he too was assigned to Vietnam. He actually would fly later on in the war. He would fly on those helicopters that landed in those LZs. And as he looked across the ship, the helicopter, he was facing the men that he had recruited. He told us a story one day in briefing at the office that a particular day, five out of the seven crew that was on his ship he had recruited. And before the sun set on that day in Vietnam, seven of those boys were dead. All five that he had recruited were dead. One of the things that he talked about in his stories was the adversity that they faced. One of the challenges that they had, much like the students sitting in that auditorium, they had a choice. You see, when they first went over to battle, they would take the pass because they were easy to get through the jungle. And the Vietnamese would set charges and basically slaughter them in those paths because they took the easy way. They learned how to manage the jungle and get around those paths. They took the hard way to fight, to win, to succeed. Much like the young man who chose the one question versus the 10 easy questions. Adversity can demoralize us. In fact, it can wear us down to the point of no return. As Christians, we need to remember that faith, prayer, hope, forgiveness, and praise are the antidotes to adversity. Life is going to shovel dirt on you. In fact, it's going to shovel wheelbarrow loads of dirt on you. The trick to getting out of that well is to shake it off and take a step up. Adversity is paved with stepping stones of trouble. But each of these stepping stones actually have some semblance of potential. We can get out of the deepest wells just by stepping up and never giving up. There are five simple rules to being happy. Being happy helps us face adversity because your life is filled with the Spirit of Christ, not with the adversity of life. That's one of your takeaways this morning. Fill your glass with the Spirit of Jesus Christ and less with the adversity of this world. Let me tell you what the five are. Free your heart from hatred. Today, forgive. I didn't say forget. I said forgive. It's going to be hard to forget. But forgiveness is much for you as it is for anybody else. Free your heart from any hatred you may have. Forgive. Number two, free your mind from worry. There's a statistical report that says 90% of the things you worry about never happen. 90%. You spend 90% of your time worrying about something that's never going to come true. What a waste of your talented time. Number three, live simpler. Appreciate what you have and don't covet more. If you need it, God will provide it. He will help you get it if you need it. Don't covet something you don't need. Number four, simply give more. Give of your time. Lend an ear when needed. Spend 10 more minutes in the grocery store with a friend you haven't seen in 5 years. Take the time to share yourself with others and immerse yourself in God's blessings. And number five, expect less from people and more from God Almighty. Your relationship with God is what will fill your heart. Unfortunately, people will let us down. They do every day. However, God never will. It is important for us who follow Christ to truly understand that this issue in our lives, that people will let us down. We will still love them, care for them, but they will let us down. God will never let us down. And we need to truly understand that. The true takeaway from this message this morning is the antidotes: prayer, faith, praise, hope, and forgiveness. When adversity strikes, stop and pray. Prayer opens your soul to receive the Word of God. When you find yourself lost, the first thing you do is stop and attempt to gather your bearings. Whether you're lost in the woods, you're lost in the on the highway, wherever you are, the very first thing you will do is stop and gather your bearings. Prayer, friends, will provide you that pause in life and allow you your bearing. When adversity strikes you, stop and pray. Pray hard. Your bearings will be found through prayer. When adversity strikes, rest well in your faith. It's your suit of armor. It's much like my friend, the Sergeant Major in the Marine Corps. When adversity strikes, praise God for bringing you to the point, because I promise you, regardless of how bad it is, good will come from it. Now, this is a hard one. When adversity strikes you, I'm telling you, Scripture tells you, this morning's message tells you, praise God for that. Because in it, good will come from it. Whenever adversity strikes, immediately forgive. Whatever has brought you there, whether it is something, someone, it doesn't matter. It could even be yourself. Forgive. Forgiveness is essential in our victory over adversity. Finally, when adversity strikes, immerse yourself in hope. Hope is a feeling of absolute trust. And trust is a word often overlooked in our faith. Trusting in God is paramount in our belief as a Christian. Psalm 62:5 says this: "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him." Trusting in the promptings of life. Trust those, and you will overcome any adversity in life. Let me tell you one last quick story. A farmer lost his watch in the barn. The watch had great sentimental value to this farmer. So he searched and he searched and he searched, looking literally for a needle in a haystack. He heard some kids playing outside, so he explained to them what had happened, that he had lost his watch, and he asked them if they would help him find it. They all searched, but could not find the watch. For hours they searched and they searched. Finally, they gave up. The farmer thanked them for their help and sent them off. As they were leaving, one little boy turned, came back down the road, and asked to try again. The farmer decided to give him another chance, and the young boy returned to the barn. About an hour and a half later, the young boy walked out of the barn with the watch. The farmer was amazed. He said, "Son, how in the world did you find the watch when so many of us had been looking all day and failed?" The boy replied, "Sir, I didn't do anything. I just sat in silence and I listened and I focused on my environment. Eventually, I heard the ticking of the watch and I followed the sound." Sometimes if you just sit quietly, we will hear the ticking of our Savior's promptings, leading us to the truth that helps us on our way, that shares with us the answer to our adversity. Listening for our Savior's promptings. Friends, the antidotes to life challenge adversity head on, face to face. These are found in the presence of stillness. Prayer, faith, pause, forgiveness, praise, all those things are found in stillness. When we trust solely in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we find peace in our Lord and Savior. In that peace, we find the answers and the antidotes to adversity. Pause and take in the stillness of life. Can you hear God's watch? Can you hear it? I can. Can you? Prayer, faith, praise, hope, and forgiveness are the trust that we seek in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Seek those in your moments of stillness. Find those when times are quiet, and the adversity that you face in this life will no longer be in your cup. Happiness will fill your cup, and adversity will run with its back turned. Amen.